I'm going to be looking at a statement made by Peter as he wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1. Before we do that, let me express appreciation for all who are here. Again, to those of you who are visiting, we're delighted that you've come. I encourage you to join with us as we open the Word of God and study from it. It's of the utmost importance that we know the will of God, that we are obedient to it, that we trust in God. One day, as Brother Himmel has prayed, our life on this earth will end and then the judgment will await us. And it's something that we can look forward to if we serve the Lord faithfully, seek His forgiveness by His mercy and by His grace. Through our faith, we can be with Him eternally. To that end, I pray that each of us will live. In verse 1, Simon Peter, after he identifies himself as a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, he says, and I'm reading from the New King James Version, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. What I want to do for the next few minutes this morning is just talk about this like precious faith that Peter mentions here in verse 1 of 2 Peter chapter 1. And what he's talking about, and I think the reading from which Mark read the translation, it said something to the effect that it was a faith that we had in common. And what Peter is simply saying is that the faith he had and the faith to whom the people he was writing had, those Christians, it was a faith that was the same. They had the same kind of faith as Peter had. And if we are faithful to the Lord, that faith is the same for us. We have the same kind of faith that Peter and those Christians in the first century to whom he wrote had. It is like precious. When we think about it, the faith of the apostles, the faith of the early Christians, that same faith exists today. And Peter describes it as like precious faith. What I want to do in the very beginning is just to describe this faith that Peter is writing about. What kind of faith is that faith? Well, in the first place, it is a faith that accepts certain facts. If you go to the second chapter of 2 Peter, beginning with verse 16, Peter says, "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For He received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to Him from the excellent glory, 'This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mount." Peter says, we were eyewitnesses, we heard. He's talking about the Christ. You know, there are a lot of people today who will say that Jesus Christ, He was a great man. He was more than a great man. There are some who would say, well, he performed great miracles. And He certainly did. But they might go ahead and say, but you know, I just can't accept some of the miracles. Well, a person who says that doesn't have this like precious faith. Peter says, we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with Him on the holy mount. The apostles were with Jesus. What Peter is writing are things that he saw. He saw with his own eyes. The apostles were with Jesus. They felt the nail scars. They saw Him along with many others after His resurrection. And so, this like precious faith, when we try to describe it, it accepts certain facts. Let me just talk about some of the facts that it accepts. It accepts Jesus as the Son of God. Not just some good man. Not some great man. He is the Son of God. When you look at verse 20 of this same chapter, what Peter says, he says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now, he's not talking about the interpretation of the reader. He's talking about there's no private interpretation of those who are writing himself. Knowing this verse, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Another fact that is accepted if we have like precious faith is the fact that like precious faith accepts the Bible as the Word of God. And that being true, we must love God's Word. Again, sometimes you hear people say things like, well, you know, I think the Bible is a good book, but I just can't accept creation. Or I can't accept the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, a person who says that doesn't have this like precious faith. A person who has this like precious faith believes the Old Testament stories. In the second chapter of 2 Peter, beginning with verse 4, here's what Peter wrote. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly. If we have the like precious faith that Peter's talking about, we don't question what the Bible says. Peter says he believed in the account of Noah. He believed in the account of creation. He believed in the account of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible is the inspired Word of God. In the third chapter of 2 Peter, beginning with verse 3, Peter writes this, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust and saying, where is the promise of His coming? We are in the last days. Now, I want to make this statement. As you think about the last days, the Hebrew writer tells us what the last... I'm not talking about the last few days or the last few weeks or the last few months. Now, the world can end at any time. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, God who at various times and in different ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son. Christ, when God began speaking to us through Christ, that's when the last days began. We're in the last days. Christ speaks to us through His Word. But Peter says that scoffers will come, and what they'll say is where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And Peter goes on, and you read those next several verses, and he answers those arguments. And when you come to verse 10, he says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. If we have like precious faith, the kind of faith that Peter had, then we believe in the second coming of the Lord. We believe the Lord is coming to receive His own. And the world will be destroyed. And it will be a terrible, terrible time for those who are lost. I remind us, I was going to mention 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, where Peter talks about the fact that we could make our calling and election sure. We don't have to dread that time. If we live faithfully before God, we can anticipate that coming. When we talk about this like precious faith, accepting certain facts, it accepts the fact that the Lord is coming again. And we've read verses 10 and 11. I won't read those again. This like precious faith, the second point that I'd like to make is this. And that is, it is a trusting faith. Not only does it accept certain facts, it is a trusting faith. Paul said, as he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, "For this reason I also suffer these things," and many things he suffered. "Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." Paul trusted in God. He gave his life, lived in a way, sacrificed his life, denied himself, because he believed, he was persuaded that God would fulfill the promises. He trusted in Him. I think of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, 13 beginning. Here the Apostle Paul, and we see the faith of the apostles. "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and I therefore, and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you." Paul says, we know that as God raised up Jesus, he also will raise us up. They had faith in that. They trusted in what the Lord said. Verse 15, "Continuing, for all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." What Paul did was he looked past this world. And he realized that whatever he suffered, whatever he went through on this earth, was just for a short period of time. And he knew there was eternity. And the faithful would spend eternity with God. The kind of trust that allowed him to forget about the world. Really to forget about how we may be mistreated at times. And they really didn't have any certain dwelling place. Just went from place to place as they talked. We must trust in things that are eternal. And when we do that, it allows us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Understanding that the things that we need in life that Jesus has described prior to this, these things will be added to us, will be taken care of. This like precious faith is an enduring faith. It will sustain us throughout our life. It's not here today and gone tomorrow. When you consider the first century Christians, their faith was tested in every way possible. Stoned. Burned at the stake. Thrown to the lions. Tortured. But their faith held. The like precious faith that Peter is describing is an enduring faith. In writing to the church at Sardis in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, "Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." And as we describe this like precious faith, it is an obedient faith. James just simply says in James chapter 2, verse 20, "But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead?" The kind of faith that is a like precious faith is a faith that is a working faith. It's an obedient faith. Paul says in Galatians 5, verse 6, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love." And so there's a description of this like precious faith that Peter is talking about. It accepts certain faith or certain facts. It is a trusting faith. It's an enduring faith. It's an obedient faith. Now let's talk for just a few minutes about what it means to be a like precious faith. Why? Why is this faith that Peter is describing or talking about, why is it precious? The Bible doesn't mention too many things as being precious. There are a few things that the Bible says. But here Peter says, like precious faith. Why is this faith precious? Our salvation depends on it. The Hebrew writer says, "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Why is this faith precious? We can't be saved without it. Our salvation depends on it. In John chapter 8, verse 24, Jesus says, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." It's not enough to acknowledge Jesus as being some great man, even some man who performed miracles. Jesus says, if you don't believe that I am He, if you don't believe that I'm the Son of God, that I'm the Messiah, you'll die in your sins. That's why this faith is precious. In Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Without faith, we simply cannot be saved. And I'm going to tell you something that's pitiful. Something that's pitiful to see is someone who has lost their faith. At one time, they had faith in God. They had faith in His promises. But they lose their faith. Our salvation depends on us having this like precious faith. Another reason that faith that Peter is talking about is precious is the fact that it brings us through crises of life. those of you who are older than me have lived through a lot of crises in your life. You probably, many of you I know did, lived through the Cuban Missile Crisis. Or lived through the bombing of Pearl Harbor on December the 7th, 1941, and what ensued after that. I heard it told of Brother Franklin Puckett that the morning Pearl Harbor was bombed, and it was a Sunday morning, he had prepared a sermon, but after he had heard of the bombing, he said, I'm going to do something different. I'm not going to preach the lesson I've prepared. And he said, let's turn to Psalm chapter 46 and let's be reminded. And what Psalm 46, beginning with verse 1, says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. You know, anything could happen to our nation. And I knew before the election occurred that if the world stood, the sun would come up on Wednesday, regardless of who was elected. But I tell you what I knew beyond that, and that is that God is in control. And He's our refuge. My hope and trust is not in President-elect Donald Trump, nor would it have been in President-elect if she had been elected Hillary Clinton. That's not where my hope and trust is. And whatever may come, as far as our nation is concerned, God and our trust in Him will bring us through. And what we know as Christians is this world can't touch us. And I don't mean it can't cause us problems. We may even be killed by people of the world who hate Christianity. But it can't touch our soul unless we allow it to. Another reason that faith is precious as we think about the different crises of life that we face, it'll bring us through financial crises. I wasn't around when the stock market crashed, but I can have read and about all those who committed suicide. And I think about Paul's statement in 1 Timothy chapter 6, about verse 17, where he talks about the fact that we must not trust in uncertain riches. You know, suppose something happened and we just lost everything materially that we had. How would we respond? I'm not suggesting we'd be jumping up and down and be thrilled, but how would we respond? I think of the statement Paul made in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. He doesn't say all things are good. And he doesn't say all things work together for good for just anybody. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. You know, it might very well be that if we, face a financial crisis, that might be the very best thing for us. It might be. I know this, that if we love God, that all things work together for good. It would help us not rely on our riches. It could help us to see that we can be faithful to God whether we are blessed materially or not. Again, not wrong for us to have material possessions. We need to use them in a proper way. But people have faced financial crises. And people of faith, they manage with the help of God to get through. It helps us face the crisis when loved ones pass away. I'm not sure how unbelievers stand it when they have a loved one that passes away. Christians have someone to look to. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 13, beginning with verse 5, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' So we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?'" When we serve God, I started to say He's on our side, but really that's not right. When we serve God, we're on His side. And if we're serving God, if God be for us, who can be against us? And we know from Peter's statement in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, Peter says, "Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." And then that faith is precious because it will help us deal with the crisis of our own death. We can come to grips with the fact that we're going to die. And I think of the psalmist in Psalm 23, verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me." You know, becoming a Christian doesn't wipe away all the problems of life. But as a Christian, we have a way of facing whatever comes in life when we have this like precious faith. Christ will bring us through. Philippians chapter 4, verse 3, "And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life." We talked in our class this morning in the auditorium about those whose names were not in the book of life, indicating there were those whose names were in the book of life. What a wonderful thing for those whose names are in the book of life, but what a terrible thing for those whose names are not in the book of life. And that faith is precious because it gives us hope. We live with hope. You remove hope, and there's no reason to live. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." When we have this like precious faith, we know by faith there is a God. We know by faith there's a heaven. History records that Jesus Christ walked on the face of this earth. But through the Word of God, we know He was the Son of God. There was evidence that He showed regularly, that people could see that He was the Son of God. And faith gives heaven reality. Can we see why that faith is so precious that Peter is talking about? Someone says, well, where do we get faith? Well, we get faith in the same way that we teach others how to get faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, the Apostle Paul says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You want to increase your faith? Put your mind right here. You study God's Word. You read it. You meditate on it. You take to heart what it teaches. That's how we develop faith. That's how we increase our faith. Somebody says, well, I don't believe that this is the Word of God. You read it. And after you read it and you study it, or you let someone study with you, most people that make that claim, they haven't taken the time to study and read and meditate on what God's Word teaches. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if somebody says, I don't believe in God's Word, well, let's study the Bible. That's how we develop faith. That's how a person who does not believe becomes a believer. And the only way we can bring ourselves or someone else to faith is by reading and studying the Word of God. And if that will not bring a person to faith in God, there's nothing that will. It just simply won't happen. And those of us who have faith, let's don't lose our faith. Let's continue to study, meditate, read God's Word. Because if we lose our faith, we have lost everything. We've lost everything if we lose our faith. I want to end with Romans chapter 10, verse 10. And the point I want to make before we read this is that we must have more than faith. Romans 10, verse 10 says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness. There's faith. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Faith is what brings one to righteousness, to make that confession unto salvation. But without faith, it's impossible. Faith leads us to obey whatever God's Word teaches. Without reservation, without hesitation. And then what we have to do is we have to live by faith all of our life. Like precious faith. We're going to sing the song that has been announced. It may be that someone is present this morning who needs to render obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you have faith that would cause you to accept what the Bible teaches? To be obedient to it, to trust in it. Do you see how you see why it's precious? Can't be saved without. Are you willing to confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, as the eunuch did? Are you willing for someone to bury you in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins, as we see about 3,000 people did in Acts chapter 2? Turning from your sins, saying, no longer am I going to do what I want to do, I'm going to do what God's Word teaches. It's what repentance is. It's a turning away from. The Lord will add you to His church. You'll be among the saved. And then you live in hope. And those of us who are Christians, we constantly need to be examining our lives, increasing our faith, repenting when we sin, confessing it to God, praying for forgiveness. And He's promised to do that. And because of our faith, we know that He will do what He says. Stand and sing for our encouragement.